It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Shadow. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how you doing today?
Oh, what's up, bud? It is a solid 25 degrees cooler here.
Isn't it so
than it was last Sunday.
What's cooler than being cool? Yeah, like 75 degrees.
Yeah, comfortable.
It's just a nice pleasant day. Yeah, it's good. I'm not drenched in sweat, which is nice, and I'm really happy about that. Excuse me. I'm burping a lot, though. That's not good. That's not good.
Yeah, you also let out, like, a big old fart right when you got on the call with me.
That wasn't an actual fart.
Yeah,
It was just a joke. I was just making a little... just a little bit that I was doing where I said it was a fart, but it was actually just... I was actually just sucking through a straw, you know? No straws?
No, I don't.
They get the drink in your mouth real quick. In a very specific location. You couldn't hear it as
well. I'm imagining you writing copy for straws, like, it gets the drink in your mouth every time.
Hopefully. If it doesn't, you're doing it wrong. Thomas, this is our 140th episode, which means we've got 10 more episodes to get some really good episode titles in before the 150th. So, you know, just keep that in mind throughout the show. Try to come up with some good stuff.
Sure, yeah.
See, like, that's not going to be the episode title. That was a bad one.
That wasn't doing it for you.
That means nothing. That's not a funny bit or a good reference to anything. That's just too... agreeable
words. I just want a version of this podcast that is completely unlistenable because it's us just trying to say, like, snappy episode titles and there's no sentence structure or anything.
Peanut butter is my mom. That's actually pretty good. I'm going to mark that one down real quick. Do you have any off the cuff that you want to work in right now? Free of charge. Because there is a toll any other time we need to use it.
Dick hatch.
Okay, so Thomas, that's a great transition into this question I've got for you today, which is, did you watch Survivor Borneo last night?
Survivor Borneo, more like Survivor Boring Me.
Okay, so this episode wasn't the most exciting.
No, it was fine.
Well, we've got.
I'm just trying to get some good content in. You
no,
told
I know.
Me to do it.
Hashtag content, very important. I feel like
I love humor.
It definitely sounded like you were about to say, "I love Hugh Hefner." Maybe it's just got Hugh Hefner on the mind.
R.I.P. Big Dog. You were definitely not a real piece of shit.
Mm-mm. If there's one thing I know about all dudes, they're like super chill and fun and good. Okay. This episode was called Too Little Too Late, which is a lot of the episode titles on this show, let me tell you. Too Little Too Late. It's like, I guess that's an okay joke.
I don't know if Too Little Too Late was a JoJo song,
but it
sounds like it would be the title of a JoJo song.
It's like, the title of the only JoJo song.
That would be the song after Leave, in parentheses, Get Out.
No, I think you're right. I think it is a JoJo song. Look it up real quick. JoJo.
We're already getting into your favorite content.
I thought Too Little Too Late was the JoJo song, not Leave, parentheses, Get Out, end parentheses.
JoJo's still only 27. She's our age.
Yeah, that's why I liked her a lot when she was famous, because I didn't understand
jealousy
yet.
Because it was acceptable.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't creepy at the time.
Like,
it would be creepy now. Yeah, like 2000, let's see when that album came out.
I need to, this is very
important. 2004.
Called it. Black Eyed Peas, Big Then 2. It's gonna be
also.
A good night.
I didn't know this. She was in the movie Shark Tale as herself.
Oh, of course she did. Is that the Chris Rock fish movie?
I'm sorry, you mean the Will Smith fish movie?
What animated movie from the mid-2000s is Chris Rock in? Is he in Osmosis Jones?
Madagascar? He was also in Osmosis Jones.
Osmosis Jones is great. Love that movie. I should rewatch that.
JoJo was also in the movies Aquamarine and RV, the Robin Williams classic.
You know it's called Robin... It's called RV because...
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. Thank you for getting there. Okay. So that's everybody's favorite segment, Tom's IMDb Corner. JoJo... Oh, did we ever find out if Too Little Too Late was one of her songs, or did we get distracted immediately?
Let me look at this.
Yes.
It doesn't look like it, but here are some of the other ones on here. Not That Kind of Girl.
Oh.
Leave, Get Out. Never Say Goodbye. Keep on Keeping On is the name of a...
That's so good.
Yes or No. I'm taking
that's
yes.
Daniel Bryan's theme song.
Anyway, JoJo is a dime now. Good looking.
Not surprising at all. Good for her. You can follow me on Twitter, JoJo, if you wanted. If we started dating, we could be called J&J Security. I was thinking about them the other day. What happened?
Oh, I missed them.
Yeah. So JoJo's cool. She's the same age as us, and she had one song 12 years ago. 14 years ago?
14 years ago.
JoJo is the Incredibles of music in that
this is true.
She was popular 14 years ago.
That's why she's gonna, I think she actually came out with an album in, like, 2016, but she's gonna release an album this year, 14 years later.
Yep. 14 years too late. That's a lyric from the movie. You know Aaron Carter started following me on Twitter the other day?
He's been following a lot of people, it seems like.
Well, that's good for him. He came out with an album recently that was fine. Was good better than I expected, but still not great.
Good for him. That's about that's about the max for him. It's like, this wasn't terrible, but that's about it.
And he's got a hip new hairdo on the cover and everything.
He's had a depressing life.
Yeah, I hope he's doing all right for himself.
It's all been downhill since he beat Jack.
Honestly. I mean, when you peak that
really
early,
lofty expectations. It's hard to live up to.
Speaking of things that happened in the early 2000s, this episode of Survivor Borneo aired June 21st, 2000, which was 18 years and 3 days ago. I would have been 9 years old. How old were you then, Thomas?
I was still 8.
You know, some of us were 9.
Still 8 years old.
In June of 2000. So, last week's episode...
Yeah, some of us were closer to death than others.
Well, you know, the good die young.
Big Billy Joel fan, huh?
If this were an episode of Survivor and not Did You Watch Survivor Last Night, that would be the episode title.
That also doesn't make any sense in context, because you were older than me.
Yeah, but then you'll live longer. And then I'm the good one. I'll remember
I
him.
Don't.
The good die a few months before the slightly younger.
Yeah, because as we all know, everyone has the exact same lifespan.
78 years.
Jake is going to die exactly 5 months before me.
Yep, that's the plan. Who are those presidents who died on the same day?
What?
Weren't there two presidents who died on the same day and they were, like, best friends?
They were presidents at the same time.
They were co-presidents.
They were
an alligator and pig best friends.
The only tag team presidency we've ever had. I'm not looking this up.
No. I might have a lot of that information wrong, but I'm pretty sure there were two presidents who were very good friends in, like, the 1800s, and they died, like, a few hours from each other. I want to say Abraham Lincoln and John Adams.
What? John Adams died after he heard the news about... John Adams, at the age of, like, 130, died when he found out that his good friend Abe Lincoln was dead.
I think friendships were stronger back then.
I don't really think there's... They did not have fake friends back then, you know? Like,
they didn't come to the presidency to make friends. But yet, they did.
Yep. It's like, being the president is like camp. You make friends for life.
Friends for life. Still pen pals. And their friendship was so strong.
It kept John Adams alive for, like, 50 years longer than he should have been.
This is a history podcast now, where we talk about things that happened in 2000 and also things that happened in 1850. Did you know that Abe Lincoln only died 150 years before Survivor aired?
He just missed it.
Did you know that...
I do remember when Mark Burnett first was producing. I remember at the age of 8 seeing a press release where he said that he was carrying on Abe Lincoln's dream. By...
Remember that Abe Lincoln speech, "I have a dream that one day there will be a show called Survivor."
Why are you giving him like a fucking Kennedy accent?
I don't know. I can't do accents very well.
Abe Lincoln like 47 years ago.
Like every president. Did you know that JFK and Abe Lincoln died on the same day? A few hours from each other.
Yeah, and,
in the same
Lincoln,
bed.
Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy, and Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln, and they were
the same
by John
person.
Wilkes Booth.
Yep.
Oh, fuck, I'm not supposed to tell anyone that about Kennedy. Oh,
man, well, cat's out of the bag
it's
now.
Been nice knowing you guys.
Okay, so Abe Lincoln is Survivor's biggest fan. That's science, that's a fact, everybody knows that. He loves the fact that last week's episode had 23 million viewers, and this one had 24 million viewers. That's... three times what it gets now. That's crazy.
That is pretty nuts.
And it's still one of the most popular shows on TV. Amazing. Okay, so Jeff again starts the episode with a summary of the show. I'm wondering how long he's going to be doing this. Or he's like, this is what the show is. Probably through the whole season, right?
It'll be like season 4 and he'll still be doing it.
Yeah. This is Survivor. This one's got Boston Rob. I love him.
Marquise, he's my son. Him? I'm adopting him.
He's my son and also my boyfriend. You can't say anything about it.
My adult son, who I adopted.
You can talk to me and my adult son anytime. Okay, we start off on the Pagong tribe. It's still storming. Gretchen is upset with how wet the shelter is getting on the beach and convinces the tribe to move it into the woods. Also, Greg has been doing this bit, apparently, every day where he pretends that a coconut is a phone. It's very good. I like it a lot. It's very fun.
Never gets old.
It's very Gilligan's Island, and I love it. I love Gilligan's Island. I don't know if you knew this about me, but Gilligan's Island is my favorite show.
Which do you like better? The opening credits for it, where they would say, "and the rest," instead of acknowledging that the professor and Marianne exist, or the one where they say the professor and Marianne?
I prefer that they list everybody.
I know. I always thought it was really weird that they said, "and the rest."
And the rest. That's three syllables. Mary, Anne, and the professor.
That's not...
Okay, so that's like quite a few more syllables.
It's a lot more syllables, but it also sounded better in the song.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, once we run through every episode of Survivor we haven't seen, let's start talking about the original Survivor, Gilligan's Isle. Your lack of reaction tells me that's a good idea.
Yep, I love it.
Good. Okay, let's go over to the Toggy Beach. Sue continues her mission to find tapioca. Oh, because she wants to make mashed potatoes.
Yeah, yep.
That's good. Sue's good. I love Sue. Sean, though, decides to build a bowling alley on the beach. This show used to be something else. Sue does not like this idea and says that she is tired of people who don't do anything. And they get their tree mail, and it tells both tribes that their next reward challenge is to build the best SOS signal on their beach.
This fucking ruled.
This is such a good challenge.
It also gives Jeff an excuse to be up in a plane, so that's cool.
Anytime that Jeff is in any sort of transport, transportation is okay by me. A plane?
Maybe a jet ski.
Maybe a jet ski. I'm all right with any of them. I'm trying to remember if he was ever in anything else. I mean, the jet ski is obviously the most popular. Oh, helicopter.
He's on boats sometimes, too.
Well, yeah, you gotta be on boats if you're on an island. That's just law. The winning tribe gets towels and pillows and a bunch of other comfort stuff.
Hammocks, I believe.
That makes sense. Jenna's the representative for her tribe when Jeff explains the mission. They're not called missions in this show, but you know what I mean. And she convinces him to try to get them a spice rack. And then Dirk, I think it was Dirk. I always confuse Dirk and Sean. I think you're right. He asks for a fillet knife, and Jeff is like, I'll see what I can do. But I also got the sense that Jeff was like, can we do that during that conversation? It's like, can we do that?
It was like the Wild West, man. They didn't know.
Yeah, they were figuring it all out. And then they got a spice rack, but it wasn't like a rack of spices. It was just a bunch of spices. I was expecting a full, like, shelving unit. I guess where would they put that up, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Over on the Pagong tribe, they try to decide if they should use fire or if they should use sex to get their attention. I don't see how that would help. Fire is bright and makes a lot of smoke.
Yeah, as opposed to, like...
What if we were fucking?
It looks like two ants are fucking down there.
Yeah. Looks like some people might be getting it on or being near each other.
Sorry, just going back to the spice rack, the best possible thing would be if he got them the rack and there were no spices in it. He's like, I got you the rack! This
you gotta
is what
be more
you
specific. You can win spices at the next challenge. What if every reward challenge they just won a different spice? Maybe that's a Top Chef challenge.
This one's for all the marbles. Saffron, one of the most expensive spices money can buy.
Saffron's fine.
The spice is life.
Spice Girls, they're from around this time too. Do you think that's why Jenna wanted the spice rack? She's like, I love baby spice.
She wants a copy of Spice World on VHS. Nothing to play it in, she just wants to look at it.
Yeah, it's a good box.
Just reads the plot description on the back over and over again.
Look, everybody gets their comfort item to bring with them, and some people bring a Bible, some people bring Spice World on VHS to read the back. On the Toggy tribe, Sue brings up the idea to build a big fire, but Dirk doesn't like that idea. Why? Sean doesn't like any idea from anybody and says that they should go about this similar to the Rose Bowl. What does that mean, Sean?
There should be who... one representative from the Big Ten and one from the Pac-10? Like, what are you talking about?
call them on your coconut phone.
We go to Pasadena.
Yeah, I assume he meant the parade?
I guess?
But, like, where are you going to get all those roses, man? There can't be that many roses on this island.
Or all those bowls. You couldn't even get a real rack.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing, Sean? Rich starts explaining something, and Sean interrupts him, so Rich says, did you think I was done with my sentence? So people are turning on Sean, and Richard says, I know the solution at home, but I'm planning something else that's a little sneaky. And it was like, ooh, what's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? And then the next scene, it's just alliances. Like, it's just
crazy.
The whole concept of the show.
It really is like, it's like in a film class when you see someone use like a basic transition and it's like amazing.
Yeah, it's like when you watch the original Star Wars movies and they do those swipes.
Yeah, it's like, I know that this doesn't look, this looks like a million other things that you've seen, but it is actually important because somehow this is the first time anyone thought to do this.
Oh, what is this, a Zoom? Over on the Pagong tribe, they all complain about Ramona, and Jervis tries to help her be more engaged, and then the next morning, she's feeling better and works harder. Jeff flies over the beaches to see each tribe's SOS signals. Toggy wrote, "Toggy is groggy," and wore bright yellow raincoats and danced around, and then Pagong's was a big smiley face, which is, like, nice.
They should have written the lyrics to SOS by ABBA.
That would have been real good. More ABBA on this show. Jeff then says that he, the pilot, and the drop guy agree that Toggy had the better signal. Here's the one thing that I didn't like about this challenge. Like, I think it's a fun challenge, but the issue is the winner, it was subjective.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, yeah, I don't know, kind of goes against the whole concept, I think, but still a good idea. Jenna is sad because she wanted garlic, and then Colleen says that she never liked the plan anyway. It's like, why didn't you speak up then? I don't know. Okay, back over on the Toggy tribe, Richard says, "The alliances have begun." This is a big deal. You know, alliances. I noticed...
Begun, the alliance wars have.
I know one of the biggest differences I noticed in watching this season compared to modern seasons is how much better the sound quality has gotten.
Oh, it's so much better.
It's like, yeah, these people are talking, but also here's every bat and lizard and fly in the background. It's like so loud. So that's good. I've gotten better mics over the last 20 years. That's nice. Rudy says he doesn't want to be in any alliance. So, you know, fine. I feel like that third place finish. Spoiler alert.
I can't believe you would spoil that.
I know,
me.
I'm so sorry.
It's that thing that I already knew.
How else would you find out? Over on the Pagong tribe, Ramona and Jenna are hanging out, and Ramona says, "I haven't had a white friend since junior high school, but Jenna could be my first white friend." Oh, it's so good. But Jenna says Ramona's work ethic is just, like JoJo, too little, too late. Did we ever determine, was that maybe a lyric? I think that's a lyric from Leave, Get Out. Or maybe is it a Kelly Clarkson song?
I don't think it's worth pursuing it anymore.
I mean, okay. Ramona says she feels good about finally being part of the group. So at this point, it's very clear that Ramona is getting voted out. Jervis then, like Rasheed Wallace, guarantees that they will win the next challenge.
Guaranteed, baby.
Jervis, though, is no Rasheed Wallace. Over on the Toggy tribe, everyone seems confident that they will win. And then at the immunity challenge, they have to do... This was such a good challenge, too. Two really good challenges in one episode. How often do we get that anymore?
Not super often.
Yeah. They have to do a relay through the water and the jungle. And then Jeff tells them it's over 100 degrees. During the boat portion of the relay, Sue drops the bottle that she's supposed to be carrying. And then while running through the jungle, Jervis falls and slows down, so Toggy wins.
Oh my god!
What?
Too Little Too Late is a JoJo song! It's just from her 2006 album!
I knew it was. I'm so glad we got to the bottom of that. What's it go like? Too Little Too Late or something?
You just play a section of it right here.
Yep. Ah, isn't that JoJo
great?
Man,
what a great song.
I love JoJo. What if we just play the entire song like it's the end of the episode?
Best JoJo's. That JoJo. Two, JoJo the ring announcer from WWE.
Yep.
Three,
and that's
JoJo's
a strong two.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying JoJo from WWE is a two? I'd say she's a 10.
Oh, man.
Because
March of Dimes.
You're telling me. She's actually made of... What am I saying? That's a stupid joke. Remember when she and Bray Wyatt were hooking up? That's weird.
It is weird.
This is Wrestling Corner. Everybody's second favorite segment.
Got that hot gossip for you about who...
Who was
JoJo and Bray Wyatt broken up with. Spoiler, it was each other.
JoJo, you know, I think, like, it's cool that she's around still. But, okay, that's the end of Wrestling Corner.
They stopped hooking up, but it was too little too late.
Yeah. Hey, too little too late could be a good theme song for this podcast for next season of Survivor, David versus Goliath, because Davids are little. And Goliaths are always late. What's the difference between Davids and Goliaths? Goliaths always be late.
Folks, you might be Goliath.
If you're always late to whatever you're about to do, you might be a
and
Goliath.
You're very large, you might be a Goliath.
If you're a big boy, if this is your season, you might be a Goliath. Okay, so that's... They haven't announced the air date of that season yet, and it's really starting to bother me. September 23, probably. Okay, I'm with the Gong Tribe. Jervis says voting off somebody is the worst part. Colleen is nervous that there are votes coming her way. Jenna is also feeling vulnerable. And Jervis says he is ready to vote off Jenna because she is more annoying than Colleen. Thanks, Jervis. I like Colleen because that's my sister's name. And that's why
that's
for
as
her.
Good a reason as any. If there was someone named Joanne on this season, I would be rooting for them.
I love that Dolly Parton song. Just kidding, that's Jolene. Okay, let's just get into the wildlife shot.
Alive.
We had some birds. We had a big black bird with a white head. We also had some more birds. We got a crab. We got some sort of alligator. And we got something called a mangrove snake. You know about the mangrove snake?
I don't. I can't say that I do.
Let me tell you about this mangrove snake right here. It's also called the gold-banded cat snake.
That's a much better name.
It's a much better name. It is one of the biggest cat snake species at 6 to 8 feet long. They are black with yellow bands around their body. The description section of their Wikipedia article sounds like somebody just wrote a description for one individual snake that they found. Because it doesn't use complete sentences and then just ends with 7 feet, 7 inches. It's like, okay, guys.
It's not the only thing, ladies.
That's gross. You're fired.
Look, I've been doing a lot of soul searching. I feel like I've learned a lot.
Okay. You're back on.
In the last 30 seconds, I feel like I've really learned a lot.
Yeah, that's good. They are nocturnal and, quote, potentially aggressive. They are nervous species and
Or are they aggressive or not? That doesn't help me.
Right. In captivity, they will refuse food if they are upset.
Aww.
They seem very cute. They will feed on reptiles and birds and mammals. Their venom is not poisonous to humans, and they have been kept as pets. Can you imagine having an 8-foot-long snake as a pet? That seems... Okay, so at Tribal Council... Sometimes I forget that
Jake,
people can't hear your terrible
Jake,
grin.
Let me tell
I
you something.
I don't want to hear about your 8-foot-long dick, Thomas. Thomas, do you root for Tommaso Ciampa because you have similar names?
No, I'm a Johnny Gargano, man. I'm a Johnny Wrestling guy.
You know what I root for? I just hope they both have a really good match.
Yeah, I'm just rooting for a good, clean match.
All right, that ends our second segment of Wrestling Corner. Is it Wrestling Corner or Wrestling Talk? It's both.
Wrestling Talk Corner.
Yes, my favorite Barstool Sports podcast.
Oof.
Just kidding, I don't. Fuck.
We already knew that, Jake.
Some of our dicks aren't 8 feet long. I don't fuck. Can you imagine? Let's not talk about that. It's just,
this guy does not fuck.
Okay. Our tribal council, everybody on the tribe is wearing face paint, and I think that is very good. It's very unifying.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it a lot. It's very nice. It brings the tribe together, I assume. They haven't really addressed it, but...
It just makes things seem a little more dramatic, too.
Yeah.
Like maybe someone's going to be ritually sacrificed.
That would be fucking wild. I was thinking about this when I saw them all wearing face paint, and I think they did it last time they went to tribal, too. But it's like, when... And Ramona mentions, like, how everybody's getting along in this tribal. It's like, when everybody on the tribe enjoys each other's presence and is having a good time together, I think it makes for a really fun season. It makes for a very entertaining watch. Like that.
Yeah, it's contagious.
I thought a lot about Millennials versus Gen X, too. It's like, yeah, pretty much everybody liked each other on that season, and that made it fun to watch. Whereas, Triple H, it was like, everybody was going at each other. And then Ghost Island, like, the three main people really liked each other, and that, you know, it's nice. I like
Yeah, same with Second Chances.
Yeah.
Except for Spencer. No one likes Spencer. No, people seem to like Spencer.
I think Tasha liked Spencer. Sort of. I think Tasha liked Spencer in, like, a little brother kind of way. Which it means not very much. Just kidding. Love you, little bro. He doesn't listen to this, I'm pretty sure.
He's older than you.
He's not older than me. My little brother?
No, not Ian. I thought you were talking about Spencer. I thought you were calling Spencer
no.
little bro.
No, I think Spencer's young, actually.
Ian's older than you, Jake.
He's not, actually. My little brother was born in 1995. He's not younger than me. Let's see. I want to say Spencer was born in 1992.
Spencer is older than you.
He's not.
Him probably... and Ian are both older than you.
No, I'm looking it up right now. Spencer Bledsoe. How many people's names do you remember?
Spencer Bledsoe.
Spencer Bledsoe. Spencer Bledsoe. Hey, could you ever do the blood thing with your fingers? Spencer could.
What?
Remember in, like, middle school when people learned... June 24th, 1992.
Yep, so he's a couple years older than you.
Nope. Incorrect.
Boy, do you look silly right now.
I'm such a dummy thinking that somebody born after me is actually younger than me. So June 24th, 1992, he would have been, I think, 7 years old when this episode aired. Today's his birthday. Happy birthday,
today
Spencer.
Today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Spencer. It's a roundabout way of wishing him a happy birthday.
Oh, that was fun. I love wishing people a happy birthday. Where were we? Oh, we were at Tribal Council, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
Spencer's
yeah.
Spencer's turning 26 today, which, as everyone knows, is older than 27, except in my case, which it isn't.
Yes, exactly. Ramona is upset that they have to vote somebody out because everybody genuinely likes each other. We already talked about that. Jeff asks, who feels confident that they're not going home? And Jervis is the only one to raise his hand. And then Jeff
really dodged a bullet there.
Jeff just dunks on him for like 5 straight minutes about how bad he is at challenges. Which, like, seems rude, but okay.
Yeah, Jeff, like, that sounds like something a fucking idiot would say.
And then Jeff asks who feels vulnerable, and again, Jervis is the only one to raise his hand. He's like, oh, that confidence is gone now. That's the thing, we always talk about, if you ever say you're feeling confident, that means you're going home. You just gotta make sure that you say you feel vulnerable after you say you feel confident, because they cancel each other out.
Yeah, apparently you're allowed to take it back.
Yeah. That's a new rule that's been established. Jenna says that whoever they vote out, she will still
new
be
rule.
Hey, Bill Maher, get out of here. We're the new Bill Maher. We'll go on HBO, and we won't say the N-word. So, why don't we have a show that isn't this show? Why don't we have a different show?
Survivor After Dark.
Hey, you know that Chris Hardwick's been fired from everything? Do you want to take his spot and have Talking Survivor?
Talking Survivor.
Ooh, here's what we're gonna do.
Talking Vibe.
Good vibes only. Yeah, we're gonna do a talk show about Survivor that airs after Survivor, and it's gonna be basically this show, but we'll probably talk about JoJo less. Oh no, now this seems like a bad idea.
Oh, just real quick on the Chris Hardwick thing. At midnight? More like not at midnight anymore, even though it had already been canceled.
Was it canceled or did it just end? Let's not discuss it.
It just ended, whatever.
Yeah, who cares? So they all go and vote. What I find really cool about the voting segment of this show, still 18 years later, they still use the exact same music for this, and it still is, like, nerve-wracking.
Oh, just real quick, just one more. They should call it Not Talking with Chris Hardwick.
So Jeff reads the votes, and Jenna gets one, and Colleen gets two, and then four go to Ramona, and she hugs everyone as she leaves. Do you remember in the first episode when BB was like, they can't vote us out because we're the only ones who know where to get the water? And then the two of them were the first two people voted off of their tribe.
Yep.
They're like, we don't need water. So post-Survivor for Ramona, whatever her last name is. In 2001, she went on The Weakest Link with other survivors, and she won. So good for her. Remember The Weakest Link? You are The Weakest Link.
More like the strong, more like the Strongest Link.
Yeah.
In Ramona's case.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta be strong to win Survivor, or The Weakest Link. Probably both, honestly. Also in 2001, she appeared in another reality game show. Do you know what that was?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, maybe? I don't know.
Nope. Thinking too far outside the universe we have created on this podcast.
Was she on The Real World?
She was on Extreme Challenge, which is the fourth season of The Challenge. She was,
wow.
She was called the Mission Mayor for a couple challenges throughout the season. So that's pretty cool. So all of these people we've been trying to get to jump from The Challenge to Survivor, or vice versa. Ramona already did it 20 years ago. So that's good. Good for Ramona. I hope she's doing well. She's still alive. Speaking of the challenge, let's discuss the finale of Champs vs. Stars. The final three teams were CT and Tony, Wes and Booby, and do you think it was Kayla and Drake or Louise and Casper? Remember, they faced off in elimination last week.
I'm going to say Kayla and Drake.
You are wrong, sir. It's Louise and
Yay!
Casper. They made it to the final.
Hooray!
First final for Louise, and also for Casper, but it's also his first season, so that doesn't make a difference. They have to run around a course doing various challenges, collecting something called a Miz Coin after each completed challenge.
Okay, that rules.
A Miz Coin is about 3 feet across and looks very heavy and has the Miz's face on it.
I was going to ask if it did. I'm very glad that it does.
It absolutely does, and I have to deposit it in, like, a little bank they all have. So, the winners are CT and Tony. Who you think took second place? Louise and Casper or Wes and Booby?
Probably Wes and Booby.
Once again, you're wrong. You don't have faith in your wife. Louise and Casper took second place. They could have won, but Casper was fucking being a dummy during the eating challenge and made Louise mad, and they lost
their lead. That's not surprising that he was the weaker link of the two.
Goodbye. So Wes and Booby took third. Okay. Speaking of The Miz, we've got a new hashtag, 3 weeks old. It's called The Miz on Survivor. Johnny Morrison's getting on Survivor. So we got to get his tag team partner, The Miz, on there as well. Do you think he'll go by John Morrison on the show? Probably not, right? That's not his real name.
You could have Miz go on... Yeah, probably not. You'd have Miz go on Blood versus Water with Maryse.
That would be so good. I would watch the hell out of that. I mean, I would watch it anyway, but... That might make things difficult for Mrs. and Miz, but... Also, they got a whole baby now. Can't be leaving their baby alone. Oh, wait.
They've got three tribes. One whole baby.
They've got... Okay, Blood versus Water 3, it's going to be a three-tribe setup. Miz is on one tribe, Maryse is on another tribe, and then the third tribe is all their babies from every other contestant. Husband and wife, or spouses, on opposite tribes, and then the third
spouses
tribe is their babies.
Spouses, infants.
It's a pretty good idea. Jeff, hit us up. We've got a great idea for a future season. Okay, you can follow us on Twitter at DYWSLN. My Twitter is Jake Scheidel.
Mine is TomNotTom.
Facebook. I always say follow us on Facebook. I should just delete that from the notes. I never use that. Okay. Shoot us a review on iTunes. Oh, and if we've got any new listeners this week, hi. Thanks for listening.
Hello.
Tell your friends. And also... I don't know if anybody's told you this, new listeners, but you should. Have a great summer.
Deuces. In the day we sweated out on the streets of a runaway American dream. At night we ride through mansions of glory and suicide machines. Spun from cages on Highway 9. Home wheel fuel injected, I'm stepping out over the line. Baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. I wanna get out while I'm still young. Those tramps like us, baby, we were born to run. Well, when did you let me in? I wanna be your friend. I wanna guard your dreams and visions. Just wrap your legs around these velvet rims. Strap your hands across my engine. And together we could break this trap. We'll run till we drop, and baby, we'll never go back. Walk with me out on the wire. Girl, I'm just a scared and lonely rider, and I gotta know how it feels. I wanna know if love is wild. I wanna know if love is real. Beyond the palace, enemy power drones scream down the boulevard. A girl's comb her hair in rear view mirrors. A boy's try to look so hard. The amusement park rises bold and stark. Kids are huddled on the beach in the mist. Well, I wanna die with you, Wendy, on the streets tonight, in an everlasting kiss. My mic sounds nice, check one.
Well, my mic sounds nice, check two. Is that the Beastie Boys?
No, it's Lonely Island. It's Lonely Island.
Yeah, same, same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're both comedic rap groups from the New York City.
I think that's 90s. I think calling Beastie Boys a comedic rap group is reductive.
I think they're very funny. I think they're a very funny
okay,
band.
Yeah. No, it's not the issue. It's not that they're not funny. It's that you called them like they're like a fucking comedy rap band.
They're yeah,
not.
They're the Weird Al of rap.
Did you see that Weird Al thing for his last tour or whatever, where he he played a different cover song for the encore every night.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's nice. What do you do?
A bunch of different stuff.
Yeah?
He played a couple Devo songs, which I was into, a couple Talking Heads songs. He did, he played All Day and All the Night by the Kinks when he was in Grand Rapids, because there's a YouTube video that just shows what he played in every city. My favorite one that he played was when he was in, I think it was in El Paso. He played Viva Las Vegas. That's great. Oh,
I hate
and,
that song
and
so
when
much.
He was and when he was in New Mexico, he played Sweet Home Alabama. I like the idea of playing very specific like region
yeah.
songs in totally like the wrong place.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's so good. I'll have to look that up. I know some people went to see him when he was here, but yeah, I didn't hear about that. That's really funny.
Yeah, Weird Al's great. He's a good guy.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with you on that. I like that song called Eat It. Eat It.
More
it
of
sounds
a
like
white,
Michael Jackson's Beat It.
More of a white and nerdy man myself.
Oh, that's a good one. Is that Chamillionaire originally?
Yeah.